I'm Ed Hui. I'm the network manager, and I'm a peculiar sort of network manager because when I was hired 2 years ago, I was told to integrate myself with the teaching staff to get involved with what they do, what the school does, and also to look ahead to the new school. It was integral to what I was being asked to do. I'm peculiar because in my background, I used to sell computers. I've run computer systems in the private sector. I'm also a scientist, and just in my spare time, I also teach karate. Now, each part of those things has actually influenced me, colored my view of what I'm doing here. Probably the most important thing as a scientist, what really runs through what I do, is that it's an experimental space, and I'm not afraid of saying, okay, that was a mistake. And a lot of what we've found out here is things that are going wrong as well as going right. And this room gives us the ability to actually do that without risk. So that's a huge advantage. Okay, what we have here is an unqualified success. It's the Lexmark have lent us this multifunction device, which prints A3, A4. You'd say it's just a color printer, but it also scans, it copies, and you can even scan an email to places, and you can do all manner of modern sort of things with printing, scanning, and copying that is normal in industry, but very seldom seen in schools. And we will be adopting some of the centralized printing in the new school. Next device, I think. Right, over here we have a server, which doesn't actually affect the students at all, but I took the opportunity of the pilot room to ask RM if they could install a server that is appropriate to running a large school. So although there are about 20 computers in the pilot zone, this server is actually suitable for running the entire new school, and it allows us to look at some of the server management software that is required. So if we need to change a computer from one configuration to another during the day, or a class set of computers, or commission some new computers, it's now a lot easier than it used to be. So you just plug the computer in, flick a switch in essence, and all the computers become configured the way you want. One of the things that has really fascinated me is the relationship between teachers and the interactive whiteboard system. Very often, people judge schools, or schools like to be judged, by their number of interactive whiteboards. And as somebody who wasn't actually teaching with interactive whiteboards when I was doing other training and so on, it's something that's aroused my curiosity. And I believe that it's not really well understood, and we've managed to actually understand more about it now in getting teachers to teach with these devices and actually challenging them on what they're doing. So an interactive whiteboard, of course, is just a graphics tablet or an input device upon which you project an image, and you can interact with that image, but essentially it's a graphics tablet or a mouse. So why normally would a school say, we have 20 interactive whiteboards or 50 interactive whiteboards? Why is that a good thing? It's to me as odd as saying we have 50 mice. It's an input device. What has become clear to me now by working in this space is that it is actually the software that comes with the whiteboard, the computer, the projector, the software, which is doing the vast majority, not all, but the vast majority of the work in producing the teaching and learning advantages of an interactive whiteboard system. And we now know that, in fact, it's teaching software. Why shouldn't that be the thing? I mean, you use word processing software for word processing. When you teach, you use teaching software. Happens that the interactive whiteboard is quite a useful thing to input into it. That has driven our understanding of what we really need in the new school in terms of do we really need the interactive whiteboards, or do we need the teaching software and the computers? And that is, that subtle semantics, if you like, has actually led to opportunities, which we're not sure if we're taking up or not, but opportunities for enormous savings. We're pretty sure now that the new school will have short throw projectors in all the rooms. It's peculiar in a way that we first envisaged this room as a room full of computers. I mean, we were thinking of testing the technology, and that, of course, it's done marvelously. But the opportunity has also been taken to put a range of furniture in here. And companies like Shinups and Steelcase have donated a vast range of furniture. And it allows us to see that, in fact, standard tables and chairs, good though they are not everything. And you do get educational advantages from having students at different heights. The way that benches work, even the shape of a table is extremely important. We have two tables that are plectrum-shaped, and they are vaguely triangular, rounded, and we find that students actually work differently depending on how they sit against these tables, whether they sit on the rounded corner or on the flatter side, how they react to each other, and there are definite improvements compared to how they work at ordinary tables. At the higher level, students treat them as stopping off points or informal ways to stand and talk to each other, which is particularly good in language classes or when they're working in groups. So we've certainly learnt a lot, and we'll be using that particularly in the breakout spaces in the new school, which are going to be extremely important in how teachers manage to create flexible lessons. We have had a number of computer systems, which I won't name, that are in there that have performed less reliably than other computer systems. And so just from a pure brand point of view, it's been useful. We've also had a number of peripheral devices that are very useful in home environments. But you know, the fact that they are wireless, to have a wireless mouse, for example, is a good thing to have. But it's become obvious in a school environment that if you have a wireless mouse lying around, the wire did more for it than simply communicate with it. It kept it in place. So small devices, obviously, although many manufacturers would like to see in the new school, may not be as appropriate. Long throw projectors, actually, to have both. We have both in here, of course. This one is mounted in the middle of the room, and we can see the difference between long throw and short throw. So that it was major part of the decision. The short throw ones are more expensive. However, when things go wrong like that, occasionally we make better use of them. So this projector, in fact, was a legacy from when the room was used for other purposes, and the mount was a bit loose, and one day it just rotated and pointed straight down. And it happened to point straight down onto a table. And we realized then that we could use it for another purpose, which was to project directly downwards onto the table, and we could use things like Google Earth. And then with a wireless mouse, we can then navigate around this space on the table without actually any interaction with an obvious computer. There's no computer here. As you can see, there's no wires, there's no anything, there's just an image on the table, and when I move the mouse, I scroll around, I can zoom in, zoom around. So, yeah, things go wrong, but then again, we make accidental discoveries at the same time. I would be panicking if I was going to build a new school without some place to do experimental work without fear. The reason for it is because if you don't have such a space, if you have a question that you could theoretically answer but can't answer, it will just prey on you. In essence, what you're doing really is to have a small bet, a small exhibition inside your own school that allows manufacturers to do what they legitimately ought to do, which is to sell to you, but you invite them into your space. You control the environment, and the salesman can't afford to be here all the time. So you're left with the truth of the matter, which is what their wares actually do. It is not feasible to build a new school without researching it properly. So if your school is not resourcing the research part of it, then they're going to get a bad school. It's just as simple as that. Now, if you are going to research it properly and you find that you can't do the rest of your duties properly, that's a matter for SLT. That's a resourcing issue. But if SLT don't want to get the best school they can, That's just a short-sighted decision. You're planning a school for the next 50 years or whatever. How can it be that a few hours of your time is not worth it?